God is for us. Have you thought about that recently? God is for us, His people. And Paul said a little further on in this chapter that we're dealing with, if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm glad God's for us, aren't you? Hallelujah. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them the called. We're talking about them that are called. And in order to cover the gamut of those that are called and who they are and what they do, we're using the alphabet, and we have arrived at the letter R. Under the letter R, we're dealing with the word repentance, a word that has somehow slipped away from the modern church, a word that has found its way out of the sermons in most places, and simply because men do not want to repent. And there are places that if a man went, independent Baptist churches, that a man could go and preach what I've preached to you, they'd run me out of town. Amen. But repentance is absolutely necessary. And we may as well get that in our head. Whether you want to believe it or not, Jesus said it so. And God commands it. All men everywhere. Not just a few, but all men everywhere. I want to take a few moments and just deal with some examples of repentance in your Bible. First of all, let me say to you that repentance is a change of heart and mind. There are four things that God changes our mind about in repentance. He changes our mind about the sovereign. Who's in charge? He changes our mind about the Savior. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior. He changes our mind about sin. I am guilty. I am a sinner. Amen. And He changes our mind about ourselves. We're really not as well off as we think we are spiritually. If it weren't for the Holy Ghost, and if God hadn't granted us repentance, every last one of us would go to hell. Amen. But thank God for repentance. Thank God He's let us come before Him and repent. In all probability, the greatest example of repentance in our Bible is found in Luke chapter number 15. Now, you've all been there. Surely you all know the account of what we call the prodigal son. And here in Luke chapter number 15, beginning with verse number 11 of that chapter, the Scripture gives us an account of this boy who went to his father and asked the portion of the goods that befell him. And the father gave it to him. And when the father gave it to him, guess what he did? He must have been 16 years old. He loaded up, left the house, went into a far country. That's a dangerous place to be. Far country is always a land of waste. It's always a land of wantonness. That word's not used much anymore. It simply means immorality. It's a land of wickedness and it's a land of weakness. Amen. He comes to the point to where he was about to faint and would have eaten the slop that the hogs were given. No one gave him anything. Now everybody was friendly to him while he had money in his pocket and he was spending it on them. Amen. But here he comes to the very end of himself and he says, I'm going to the house. Yes. In my father's house, the servants are better off than I am. And I'm going to go to the house. And I'm going to say to my father, now listen, here's repentance. I've sinned. I've sinned. And you know, he mentions two areas in which he sinned. He said, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. His words of repentance simply and straightforwardly says, I'm guilty. I'm guilty before God. I'm guilty before you, Dad. I've done wrong in doing what I've done. Stepped aside of what I've been taught. It's a shame and a disgrace that happens in most of our lives. But before God, it's a marvelous thing when a young man or a young woman comes to the reality that God is, and things are a whole lot better where God is than being in the world. Repentance comes from an humble heart. He said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. I just want to be a servant. I'll be fine just being a servant. And by the way, repentance makes us willing to be a servant. Let's not forget that. Repentance makes us willing to be a servant. It brings us to the end of ourselves and causes us to understand that we are nothing within ourselves, and all we could possibly do is just be a servant. But by the way, what more would God want us to do? What are we told to do? What have we been instructed to do? To be a servant. A servant. Servants are not a bad thing, by the way, when you're serving the right master. But it's a horrifying thing when you're serving the wrong master. In Luke chapter number 23, here is another instance of repentance. Here we come to the crucifixion of our Lord. And there on the cross, our Lord is dying to pay the price for our sins. But on either side of him, there are malefactors, there are thieves. And one of those thieves begins to rail upon the Lord and said, hey, if you are who you say you are, then get us down from this cross. But the other one rebuked the one and said to him, we deserve what we have, but this is a just man. He recognizes the Lord for who he is. He realizes who he is himself. I deserve what I'm getting. I deserve to be on this cross. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Can you imagine the pathos of that hour? Can you imagine what must have been going on in the heart of the Lord Jesus as well as that thief? Who at this very moment in time, now, somewhere along the road, he's heard of, he's known of the Lord Jesus. Otherwise, he couldn't defend him. But at this hour, he cries for forgiveness. I deserve what I'm getting, but not this just man. Lord, remember me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What a request. For a dying man. Someone has said there's no such thing as deathbed repentance. Well, there's such a thing as death cross repentance. And I would say that we could easily bring that to deathbed repentance. I believe I've stood by the bedside of some who have repented as the last breaths were coming and going in their bodies. There were years that I said in my preaching that I put very little value upon deathbed repentance. But I had to change my mind after a couple of examples, after a couple of circumstances, when I heard the pleading of dying men crying to God, God, forgive me. Dear God, forgive me. Forgive me. I said to you the other night, that the life of a believer is a life of repentance. We best not forget that, because if we're not careful, we get to thinking, well, I don't need any repentance. Well, you don't. You don't if you don't have any sin. But I'm not looking in the face of people who are not sinners. I'm looking in the face of sinners, and I'm saying to you, we need repentance. Amen. And our days and our prayer life ought to be filled with repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God help us to repent. And God help us to stop arguing about whether or not we need to. Amen. Just do it. Right. Just do it. If you do it, you're being obedient. If you fail to do it, you're being disobedient. So that's sin itself. Sure. Paul said there is a repentance that need not be repented of. That means that there is repentance that needs to be repented of. Remember the example our Lord gives us of the two men who went to the temple to pray? Yes. I've mentioned this before in this series. But when they went to the temple to pray, there was a Pharisee and a publican. And that publican got off by himself, away from everybody else. But that Pharisee stood. Now notice the difference in their circumstance. One is standing. The other is so miserable that he's beating upon his chest. Miserable in his sin. But the other one is proud in his doing. Wonder how many Baptists we could put in that category. Oh, you don't know what all I've done. I know that what you've done is sin. Amen. But here is this Pharisee telling God what a good man he is. I tithe. I'm not like this man. He even thanked God that he wasn't like him. Yeah. Isn't that something? Yeah. Thank you that I'm not like he is. And then he brags on himself. And that poor old publican is over there beating on his chest because of the misery of his sin. Amen. And he says, amen, have mercy on me, yes, a sinner. Amen. Jesus said that man went down to his house justified, amen, rather than the other. Amen. Now we could spend the night looking at the difference here, but the simple thing is, here is a man that is guilty before God, and here's one that is not guilty in his own eyes before God. The publican has recognized he's a sinner. The Pharisee has not seen his sin. And that Pharisee leaves guilty while the publican leaves righteous, forgiven, went down to his house justified, rather than the other. This is a true account. Some years ago, a young girl had decided that she was going to leave home. Her father had passed away, only her mother, and she decided she'd had enough of mama and mama's love, and she's going to hit the road. Well, she did. No one knew where she went. Mother had no account of her for some time. But every night when Mama would go to bed, she'd leave the door unlocked. She said, by chance, if my daughter comes home, I don't want her to find the door locked. I want her to know that she's welcome back home. And sure enough, one night, the wayward girl came home, found the door open, unlocked. She opened it and went in and crawled in the bed beside her mama. Her mother said, I left the door unlocked for you. She said, yes, mama. Mama said, I'm glad you're home. She said, oh, but you don't know, mama, how glad I am to be home. The prodigal that realizes his estate in this world will find his way home. The prodigal girl will find her way home. When she realizes her estate in this world. Listen to me. God's door has never been locked. No, no, no. And God's children need to come home. Are you hearing me? God's children need to come home. We wander in the world and satisfy ourselves with the things of the world for a season. But there comes a time. It's said that you never hear Big Ben in the hustle and the bustle of the day. But when night falls and the streets get quiet and people are gathered in their houses rather than running to and fro, the tick of that clock and the sound of that clock can be heard many paces away. Listen to me. As a child of God, you may satisfy yourself in the hustle and bustle of the world. But it'll get quiet sometime. Amen. And when it gets quiet, the whisper of the Holy Ghost that you couldn't hear in all of the gaiety of the world, the whisper of the Holy Ghost will begin to whisper in your heart.
Amen.
Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. God help us to realize that repentance is by all means necessary.
Amen.
In Acts chapter number 5, verse number 29 and following, the scripture says that Christ is exalted to give us repentance. Did you hear that? Think with me for a moment what you just heard. Look how this reads. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now, they've just got out of prison. They've been beat and mauled because they preached in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Simon Peter said, now listen to me. This is the fellow that denied him three times at his trial. Wonder what made him so bold that he'd stand up against the government officials. Wonder what done that. Could it be the Holy Ghost?
Amen. Amen.
And Simon Peter declares, we're going to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew, hanged on the tree. Now watch this, how this unfolds. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior for to give repentance to Israel.
Amen.
And forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, sir.
God raised him up and set him at his right hand so he could give repentance.
Amen.
To his people. Let me just tell you something here in case you haven't figured it out yet. You don't repent until God grants you repentance. When God grants you repentance, you better jump on that train as hard, fast as you can and believe God in every circumstance and repent of that sin. Because you can't always repent.
Amen.
I'll show you that so in a moment. I like this in Luke chapter 15, verse number 7 and verse number 10. Two verses there, our Lord says that there's rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angels. And in heaven, why? Over one sinner.
Amen.
That comes to repentance.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Woo,
so, well, how in the world does that happen? Hey, look up here. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who's doing the rejoicing. He doesn't tell us. But I would dare say it's not angels. Because they don't know what it is. It could easily be saints. Those who have gone on, those who have walked down the road of repentance and fulfilled their pathway in this world and stepped out into glory, and now somehow God lets them know that old sinner down there just repented.
Amen.
And they're rejoicing. Now, I don't know that's so. But I know the angels aren't rejoicing. And I hear that preached all the time. Angels don't rejoice over sinners coming to Christ because they don't know anything about it. Simon Peter said they desire to look into it. They want to know, but they don't know, and they can't know because they've never been where we are, never been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, never repented of their sins, never come to Christ. But there's some folks there that have.
Amen.
And it just may be that somehow the Holy Ghost announces in the glory, hey,
yes,
an old sinner just repented.
Yes.
And there's joy in heaven.
Amen.
Over that one that repents.
Yes.
Now let me say this to you. You can outwait the time of repentance.
Amen. Yes.
Esau. The Hebrew letter gives it to us plainly in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 17. Look at this. Speaking now of Esau. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance. Though he sought it, watch this, carefully with tears. Tears is not repentance. Did you hear that?
Amen.
Tears is really no sign of repentance. Let me show you what's a sign of repentance. Getting out of the hog pen and going home to daddy.
Yeah.
Getting up, shaking yourself off, realizing where you are and knowing what's in the Father's house and heading home to daddy.
Yeah.
With repentance on your lips, I've sinned.
Amen.
And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son.
Amen.
In closing tonight, I want to invite your attention, if I may, to the book of Hosea. Before I go there, wait a minute. Hang on just a second. In Romans chapter number 2, verse number 4, there is an important little verse that most of us miss in our Bible. See, look here. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? Watch this. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. God been good to you.
Amen.
God's been good to you. You ought to be repenting.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
The goodness of God leads you to repentance. Let me just say this to you. God will either lead you or drive you.
Amen.
To repentance.
Right.
I'd rather be led.
Amen.
I'd rather be led.
Yes.
I come to Hosea chapter 6. Three little verses in this chapter. And what an unfolding of truth is in these three verses. In verse number 1, I said it already. God will draw you or drive you to repentance. Look at here. Come and let us return to the Lord. Now what does that mean? That means they're out of the way, right? Old Testament, they're backslidden. And now, he has torn them, but he'll heal. He's smitten, but he'll bind up. After 2 days, well, we could stay there for a week. After 2 days, will he revive us. In the third day, he'll raise us up, and we shall live in his sight.
Amen.
Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, and the latter and the former rain unto the earth.
Amen.
If we repent and come to God,
amen,
there's always a reviving and a refreshing.
Yes, sir.
Because we've been obedient toward God.
Amen.
Return, verse 1. The revelation. Chapter number 2, the church at Ephesus. Remember what he said? Remember from whence thou art fallen. and repent and do thy first works. There are three words involved in that. Remember, repent, return.
Amen.
Same situation here in Hosea chapter 6. Remember, repent, and return. He'll bind us up, renew us as only He can.
Amen.
And refresh us with the early and the latter rain. Times of refreshing sent from the Lord.
Amen.
When we're willing to be obedient and repent.
Amen.
God's children had been driven from their land. Hosea's account and God's using of Hosea and the circumstance of his life was so picturesque of the individual leaving the Lord, turning and going aside. And Hosea, time after time, went to find his wife. Paid for at least twice. Bought her out of the slave market. She'd become a harlot. A woman of the street. But he still loved her.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. If the love of God has ever been described in your Bible, it's described in the life of Hosea.
Amen.
Still loved her.
Yes.
Still sought her. After all she'd done, and took her to himself.
Amen.
Claimed her as his own. And you're going to be for me and me only. You're mine.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes.
What a marvelous picture of the work of Christ in our lives.
Yes.
We stray.
Yes, we do.
We do. I mean, you can go to church every Sunday night, Wednesday night, every protracted meeting, every meeting that just pops up, sing Amazing Grace, shut the house down.
Amen.
And be as out of the will of God.
Amen.
As any Old Testament saint ever got.
Amen.
But if you're His, He loves you.
Amen.
And wants you to repent. He loves you and holds out His hand to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Amen.
And by the way, I shan't leave that thought without saying to you that that is not a request. That's written in the imperative sense. That means it's a command. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest.
Amen.
Repent or perish. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God grant us repentance.
Amen.
God in heaven grant us repentance. My Father, I rejoice tonight because you are a God who grants your people repentance. I'm more so overjoyed tonight because you've granted me repentance. Lord, continue to do so. For so often I find myself sinning. Forgive me.
Amen.
Grant me repentance.
Amen.
I pray for these before me. Dear God, so often we find ourselves out of the way. Grant us repentance.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.